It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
B-Pod Studios.
Belger.
I'm a liar and a phony. One of those no good nicks you keep running away from.
Maz.
I'm a man. Well, nobody's perfect.
Belger and Maz. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Atkinson stops far half wall. High slot Jones. Near point Panarin shoots. Rass the save. Rebound. They score. It's Duchesne who celebrates with a power play goal. The Blue Jackets victorious 3-2 in double overtime. And this series is tied at one game apiece.
And game three coming up in a couple hours here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Bruins and Celtics the rest of the way. If you want to circle back to our draft conversation and the Garoppolo thing, by all means, you are welcome. But back to the phones, as promised. Ben and Paxton on the B's. Been waiting patiently. Go ahead, Ben.
Hey, guys. Jake DeBrusk has been a no-show all series. He didn't play that well in Toronto. Danton Heinen has 4 points in the playoffs. He only has two. Can somebody put a bolo out for that guy for me? Hang up with me.
Yeah, that's another guy. I mean, Pastrnak gets most of the grief. DeBrusk has been almost a silent.
No, he vanished, too. And again, I thought he looked pretty good against the Leafs in the early part of that series, and then he got drilled by Kadri, and he hasn't really been the same player since. He played better in one of the games up in Toronto. I think it was game five?
Whatever.
One of those, or again, no, it would have been game six. He played better up there in that one, but that was it. I mean, you know, he hasn't been a factor.
Andy in Dorchester, give me a Celtics thought.
Yeah, so I just wanted to say that if the Celtics win this series, I don't care what no one says. All the credit goes to Brad Stevens and his defensive schemes on Giannis, because I think he just has them figured out on the offensive end.
Okay. I mean, they do, but I don't want to, you know, like I had him figured out. It's really not that complicated.
They're easy to figure out.
They really are. They don't
clog the lane.
It's not a diverse offense, and it's not a ball movement offense. It's about one guy who doesn't really have an outside game. So, I don't know. You have to be some sort of moron not to clog the paint against Giannis. How complicated is that? I mean, Brad Stevens is a good coach, and he's like, I'm not taking anything away from him. I'm just saying that he's splitting the atom there.
They're going to have to kick the ball out and make shots. The Celtics aren't going to give him the paint. I mean, not by design anyway. It's going to happen on breakdowns and stuff like that. And, it, you know, the Bucks will get some hoops in transition because the Celtics aren't going to shoot 54% again.
Paul in the car, give me a Celtics thought.
Hey, Tony, your theory regarding Kyrie Irving and his, he already told the team that he's leaving, how would that affect the offseason? Like, they take Anthony Davis off the table, maybe look at Kemba Walker, maybe sign Rozier for a sign and trade.
I mean, I don't know. Honestly, Paul, I haven't gotten that far. You know, my guess is that given Ainge's infatuation with Anthony Davis, he'll still want him. That'd be my guess. But, you know, I just, to me, the comment that Kyrie made the other day was striking to me.
So, Jimmy, you want to play it again?
You know, that, yeah, Jimmy, if you have it, let me know when you have it. The idea that we're going to reappreciate the group now, to me, felt like someone who understands that the group's not going to be together much longer.
Maybe there was a little foreshadowing throughout the regular season as we were dealing with our ups and downs naturally. But I think that we just have an appreciation for the group that we have. We've spent at least 2 years together now.
An appreciation for the group we have. I don't know. I mean, to me, that sounds like a guy who knows the team's being broken up. And I'm probably reading it into it too much because I read into everything. But the way he phrased that to me sounded like a guy who's, you know, who said to the team, look, this is coming apart at the end of the year. So let's just go out and do the best we can and play together.
And that's helped the team. It's cleared the air, et cetera.
I mean, I think, how else do you explain them, like, all of a sudden playing the way they play? Like, again, that game on in game one against the Bucks was complete team basketball with Kyrie there when they needed him. That's exactly how they drew it up. And that's the way it should have been from the beginning. All of a sudden, you know, the other factor is that Smart's out and Jaylen Brown's starting, so Jaylen Brown's happy. So, you know, there's less bickering. The roles are a little more clearly defined, but everybody's accepting their roles. And I don't know. I know maybe there's long-term clarity.
Did something happen, and could that have been it? Fair question. Kevin O'Connor has a different opinion. You'll hear that cut coming up in a second. Jerry in Rhode Island was waiting patiently to talk draft in the Felger and Mass Big Board. Yes, Jerry.
Two quick points, and good afternoon, boys. One point was the reason they picked the kicker, the kid has a big leg, he can hold, he can do field goals, and he can do kickoffs. So that means that they can baby Gostkowski because he's getting older, and then next year they can just take over for all three and gain a spot.
Hold on, man. Hold your water. Yes, number two.
All right. The other thing is every year I work up my draft board. I work on it for 3 or 4 weeks. I go through everything. I got all my positions, where I think they're going to. I don't even pick the best player. I pick the player I think that the Patriots can pick on. This year I came up nothing. I bow before the big board. I give in.
Thank you, Jerry. Thank you.
That's a good man.
Tell Jones. On your knees, Jones. So they had to draft a punter in the fifth round because of holding.
Right. To
And kickoffs.
It makes no sense in the first place because you could legitimately make a case that Ryan Allen, who they just gave a contract to in this offseason, should have been the MVP of the Super Bowl.
Well, you can't make that argument, but he was good in that game.
You kind of could. Well, depending on how the damn thing was going, I understand when they give it to Edelman, you have to give it to a star offensive player, but Ryan Allen was awesome in that game. All that being said, you didn't need another punter. You didn't have to waste a pick on an effing punter. That was another one that drove me crazy. I know I'm not alone there.
So can this kid kick field goals as Jake Bailey character?
He can kick off, I guess.
Whoop-de-doo. You needed that in the fifth round?
I'm just telling you.
Okay, so again, if we're talking about holding kickoffs and punts, you can find any jackass on a street corner to do that. Like, you had to use a fifth-round draft pick on that? Jawan Bentley was a fifth-round draft pick. Like, I would rather use the pick on an actual position than some donkey with a leg.
Luke in Vermont, you know of any good Boston sports bars out in San Francisco, the Oakland area, in the middle of June? Because I think we're headed there.
I kind of think it's a possibility for the first time in a long time. But Giannis reminds me of Derrick Rose in his MVP season. He was a regular season superstar because of the nature of the regular season. Transition, up and down, no real scheme. And that's who Giannis reminds me of. And Derrick Rose was the youngest MVP at the time. And I think it's a great comparison. I think you are right on the money with your assessment.
Yeah, something like that. I agree that he can get away with it in the regular season because teams don't get back or they're second of back-to-backs or third and four or they just suck or whatever the case may be. You can run up and down the floor, not in the playoffs.
No, exactly. And I think the other day we saw the capability of the Celtics and why we were so excited about them at the beginning of the year. Two things scare me going forward. Marcus Smart coming back. And I do like Marcus Smart, but I just think the minutes thing is a real issue. Jaylen Brown, I've been screaming for him to get into the starting lineup, has been awesome. And he's going to be affected by Marcus Smart. He has to be. The other thing that scares me is Jim Murray finally coming on board. He's been anti-Celtics for so long. I asked him not to do this, and he did it anyways. So I'm a little worried going into tonight. More worried about Jimmy Murray coming on than Tony Brothers officiating.
Understood. The thing about
Jaylen, like a mush.
Jaylen Brown, you're big on.
Yes, look, I just think that Brown, if he plays any kind of defense at all, they're way better off with him on the floor than Smart. I just, at the offensive end, the difference is so striking. The Celtics are impossible to defend if you do that because he's improved more than any player on the team since the beginning of the year, if you ask me. Like, the biggest change in anyone's game to me is Jaylen Brown from beginning of the year to now.
He's as big a hoop head that calls. That Derrick Rose comp is pretty spot on, if you go back, because they played two Lambs, and then they played the Heat. That was the first year of the big three with LeBron and Bosch there and D-Wade, and they got stomped in five games. So they face a real team, kind of like how this Bucks team is facing a real team of the Celtics that have come together, and now they realize, I'm like, oh, we've kind of coasted here.
Joe in Lincoln. Hi, Joe.
Hey, Luke stole some of my thunder. It's not a big mystery. There's less minutes. I mean, they're not fighting for minutes as much as Marcus Smart. But here's what I think is I'm worried about a little bit. You know, with Marcus Morris and Jaylen Brown and Tatum and Rozier as a wild card, because if those guys start having a bad game, start jacking up threes, then I'm afraid Kyrie's going to start hogging the ball. And when Kyrie hogs the ball, bad things happen. And as long as it's running through Gordon Hayward and Al Horford, those guys, they played the best game I've ever seen the other night.
Well, so, Joe, I hear you. Look, if they've settled their chemistry issues, then little things like this shouldn't upset it. Guys miss shots, guys, you know, step out of their role. Marcus Smart comes back and takes away minutes. If they've really come to the right place, those things aren't going to impact this. Do you believe, are you convinced they've come to the right place?
No. No, because again, I want to see what happens when they get down 8 to 10 points. They're on the road. The crowd's on them. They're having communication issues. And I want to see if the finger pointing comes back. Actually, honestly, I want to see it almost more at home than on the road. Because at home, they're going to go in thinking they're going to win. They're going to go in thinking they're going to coast. Maybe they will. But somewhere along the line, I think, to win a championship, you're going to have to fight through a little bit of adversity.
Pete in North Andover. Go ahead, Pete.
Hey, how hard do you think the Bruins are in terms of like overall injuries and what impact will that have on their play tonight?
So the injury thing I go back and forth with, which is like, all right, I mean, let's just take for an example, David Krejci. Obviously got walloped by Riley Nash in game one, was obviously hurt, couldn't post in the overtime, probably shouldn't be playing, but he guts it out and he plays. Probably shoots himself up, wraps it up, pops the shoulder back in, and plays. He's not taking faceoffs, or as many. I think he's only taking them on one side or something. Like, he only took 12 in this last game. So he's clearly hurt, clearly probably shouldn't be out there, and he's not producing as much. So do I say it's a playoffs, you have to suck it up, there's no injury excuse? Or do I say I give the guy a lot of credit, he's out there gutting it out with an injury? And if I do that with him, do I have to do that with Pastrnak? I don't want to. He's sucked. And if I do that with Krejci, do I have to do that with Bergeron? Because clearly something's not right there with some of his minutes.
You have to maybe do it with someone like DeBrusk, who's either exhausted or banged up still from the Toronto series.
Then do I have to do it? Do I have to get, so then yeah. It's either you either give them the injury excuse or you don't, and I'm not going to. I'm not going to. They should beat Columbus. They should categorically beat who's ever next. And they don't at least go to the Stanley Cup final, they've choked. I agree with Ty Anderson on that. So that's how I would assess that. Some of those guys are clearly hurt, no excuse. They should go to the finals.
I mean, to me, the only thing you can ever go by is if they're out there, they're expected to perform. Whatever we find out later, we find out. Bergeron has not been himself in this postseason. He hasn't been good. Like, and we all pull punches with Bergeron. But the bottom line, I don't want to say he has sucked in the playoffs, but for the standard of play that he typically gives, what you're getting now is what, half that? I mean, he looks like a third-line player.
Okay, so Maz's developing take on Kyrie Irving that he revealed earlier on in the program was that maybe he was hinting at he's told the team he's leaving, and that's what's been allowed them to clear the air and just sort of set expectations and put all that thing to the side because it's been said. He just wonders that. Is that what Kyrie was hinting at with one of his answers in the postgame? We asked Kevin O'Connor about his thoughts, because if you asked Kevin O'Connor about this a month or two ago and he wrote a big story in The Ringer about it, he would have said Kyrie's gone. What is Kevin O'Connor saying today about that? You'll hear that right after this, and we'll take your calls.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks. And all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
If Heineken Silver was a 60-second radio ad, it'd tell you all the stuff you need to know in only 30 seconds to keep things light and refreshing. Seriously, time me. Heineken Silver, a world-class light beer that's surprisingly crisp and refreshing, made with only premium quality ingredients and just 2.9 grams of carbs and 95 calories, all without compromising on taste. Heineken Silver, all the taste, no bitter endings. Order now at Heineken.com/silver. Must be 21 and older to purchase. Enjoy Heineken responsibly. Whew, 30 seconds, that's it. Done. Peace.
B.O.B. Boob.
Oh, my God. Isn't that Bob?
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Do you think Kyrie's staying, or do you think he's going?
I would bet on Kyrie staying.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Why?
I think all indications the past couple months are that he's absolutely going to consider, you know, a team like New York. I think that'll be in consideration for Kyrie. But I think when it comes down to it, he's going to look at his situation based off what I heard and stay in Boston. And I would also bet on Boston being at the top of the list for Anthony Davis, too. And I think if you're Kyrie Irving, it would take a lot of balls to leave a championship-contending team already, never mind a team that could also add Anthony Davis, a friend of his in the league, and also a tremendous player as well. I would be surprised if Kyrie left, though he's at least going to consider it and going elsewhere.
So that's Kevin O'Connor. He joined us earlier from The Ringer. Love him to death. I don't mean to rag on him, and this is not... I think he talked to the Celtics, because I think the Celtics have, that's exactly what the Celtics have been saying internally and privately forever. Why would he ever leave here? He'd be nuts to leave here. And we're getting Anthony Davis. Because again, this is the Celtics world. Everything's always going to work out. Everything's always going to come up aces. It's always going to come up green. We're going to get the guy. He's going to stay. We're going to win. And that's just the way the Celtics operate. It's the way Danny Ainge operates. It's the way Wick operates.
It's the, you know, land of Oz.
Oh, my God. It is unicorns and show ponies in Greenland, man. And I'm not just talking about their fans. I'm talking about the way they talk to media and people. They are hyper-confident and always have been. And so I think they've been, and this is why the local commentary with Kyrie all season has been the same thing. They all say the same thing. Why would he leave? Because the Celtics people are saying that. And you look at it from the Celtics' perspective, because this is a great team, a great future. They're going to get Anthony Davis. You think New York's a clown show? I mean, that's what the Celtics organization thinks. That's what locals think. But that's not what these NBA guys think. The NBA guys aren't as high on Boston as you are, as a city or a team. And are they really getting Anthony Davis? What if New York gets the first overall pick in Zion Williamson? Are you really getting Anthony Davis? Would you rather have Jason Tatum or Zion Williamson?
Zion.
Yeah, I don't know. Either way, they have a good trade.
Well, but I mean, what's an easier sell for your fan base?
Zion.
Oh, Zion Williamson.
I think Zion's probably an easier sell. So, of course, the Celtics have been saying forever, yeah, we're getting Anthony Davis. Why do you think all the local guys say, yeah, they're getting Anthony Davis? And why do you think all the local guys say, yeah, Kyrie's not going anywhere? Because the Celtics are saying that. And so that the Kevin O'Connor thing kind of, that I can hear that anytime I turn on NBC Sports Boston or one of the team broadcasters, I hear that. I don't know. Everything I hear from Kyrie is something else. So, hey, look, maybe Kevin O'Connor's right. What do you think, Jimmy? I mean, because you've been big on Kyrie to New York before anyone.
So I still think Kyrie's going to the Knicks. I think Durant's going to the Knicks. I think the NBA is going to fix it so that the Knicks get the number one overall pick so that they can draft Zion Williamson and then trade him to New Orleans, because the NBA would benefit from the Knicks being relevant with their own big three, Anthony Davis, Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving.
Can you imagine everything coming up New York like that? Oh, the league would love that. The league would absolutely love that if it came up that way. Totally. I mean, again, they'd do cartwheels if they could get those three guys in New York. And you know what? I'm not even sure they need Anthony Davis there. How about just Durant, Kyrie, and Zion? That's pretty good, too. Two of the, you know, better players in the league, top 10 players in the league. Durant might be number one now, for crying out loud. And then you had the number one pick, who's got as much hype around him as any guy since whoever, maybe LeBron. Like... Oh,
Maz, the idea with Zion Williamson going to New Orleans is now New Orleans has a franchise marketable player for the next 7 years.
No, I get it. I understand.
Franchise big for franchise big.
Yeah, I get it. I'm just telling you that. How'd you like to be New York in that scenario where you say we get the best of both worlds? We got two guys right now, and we're championship caliber, and in 5 years, this kid's going to be a centerpiece, and we'll be championship caliber again.
What if you can't get past Toronto? Is Kyrie going to be as keen on staying here? I mean... I don't know.
But what if the Celtics win? Then doesn't Kyrie Irving go, yep, mission accomplished. I'm good. Now I can go do my own thing.
Maybe. I rule out nothing with that guy. Who the hell knows what's going on between those ears? Like, really? There's no way to predict what the hell he's going to do. So I just, you know, I don't know. I wonder if they've all sort of reconciled this thing because they all know Kyrie's gone and it'll be them after this and everyone's okay with it.
All right, so we continue with your thoughts, Celtics and Bruins, heading into tonight's action. We've got Jack in the car on Giannis and Durant. Yes, Jack?
Hey, how are you guys?
Good.
Three quick points. Number one, I agree with you guys. The series is definitely over. It doesn't even matter if Giannis gets his. It all comes down to matchups. You can't have guys like Ilyasova and Pat Connaughton out there guarding freaks like Jalen, Tatum, and even Hayward. Number two, I question how some of these writers get their jobs. A lot of them are saying, oh, you know, Durant was stifled by Pat Bev. This is what and he came back and had 50. Giannis is going to do something similar. You can't compare Giannis to the greatest scorer ever.
Silly.
And number three, too, I think game one is a perfect reason of why they should trade for Anthony Davis. As much as I love Jason Tatum, he had 4 points. Smart didn't play. You package those two and the picks, and you add it to that team from game one. It's a no-brainer.
Okay.
Thanks, guys.
Thoughts on Jason Tatum's night in game one?
I mean, he had a bad game. Like, again, there's no two ways around it. He's probably the only guy in the team, for crying out loud, when you really weigh it out. But I'm not, like, alarmed by it. He's a good player. He's still developing. And you're not going to get all five guys going on one night. That'll almost never happen. So I'm not, like, worried about it. I mean, they had enough going there to win, and they had enough going to win easily.
I thought Tatum had one of his better defensive nights in a long time on Sunday.
He was good on Middleton, I thought.
Yeah, I'm not convinced. I mean, I still think he and Jaylen Brown get fooled into up fakes, and you know, they're not quite as competitive as they should be. But I will say, in this game, every guy in the team committed to playing defense.
Elliot in Boston. Hi, Elliot.
As long as Al Horford is the second best player in the Celtics will win in 5 games, and I'm going to tell you why. Al Horford can take away what's the biggest attribute of Giannis's game, which is driving to the lane by defending the paint. And Al Horford and Kyrie Irving together do expose a weakness on Milwaukee, which is make Eric Bledsoe and Brook Lopez play defense.
Yes.
And if you saw any New Jersey Nets games in the past, like I embarrassingly did, Brook Lopez is the softest big man in the NBA. So Al Horford and Aaron Baines can neutralize what is probably the third or the fourth best player in Milwaukee, which is Lopez and Bledsoe.
Lopez's softness isn't the issue. It's that Budenholzer doesn't want him running out there.
Exactly. He wants to keep him in the paint.
So they pack the lane. They defend the two, and they allow the three. And as part of that, they allow Horford to come off that screen and roll and shoot wide-open jumpers, which is just asinine. Because Horford can shoot. I feel like when he's uncovered, he's freaking automatic. And they just sort of let him do it because that's their defensive philosophy. So it's not Lopez's softness. It's their approach that I think is just crazy. You can't let Horford shoot out there. He'll kill you. Mark in the truck. Go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, Tony, I think Kyrie is strictly talking about his own situation. Between Kawhi pushing himself out and ending up in Toronto, same thing with Paul George going to OKC. I just think he realizes the grass isn't greener on the other side. And he realizes how good he has it. I'll take your answer off the air.
So Mark is saying just the opposite, that what Kyrie is saying there is that we realize what we have. I'm not going anywhere, and now let's go win a championship.
Yeah, my guess is that he's a Celtics fan, and he wants to believe the good things. And look, again, he might be right, and maybe I'm a negative jackass.
You are.
Who wants to believe just the negative things. So I don't know. I just, again, I go by the way he phrased it. Okay, the way he phrased it. When he said, and now I can't even recall exactly what word he used, but when he said,
"Well, let's
hear
it again."
You know, maybe there. Go ahead, Jerry. I'm sorry.
Maybe there was a little foreshadowing throughout the regular season as we were dealing with our ups and downs naturally, but I think that we just have an appreciation for the group that we have. We've spent at least 2 years together now.
You know, the appreciation for the group we have, meaning live in the moment. Like that's how I took it. And I don't know if he meant it that way. Maybe he meant, look, we finally came to appreciate each other's abilities and we work together now. Could be that simple. I look at it as this is going to break up soon. We're not going to keep this group together much longer. So we've decided that we're going to commit to playing our best while we're all here. That's how it felt to me.
We will find out in time. It's going to be super interesting June when you're in the NBA Finals out in San Francisco. And we're just going to take up residence in the Bay Area. Because it could be Bruins, Sharks, Celtics. Yeah, we'd just hang out in the Bay Area. Hang out in Palo Alto for like 2 weeks.
And all the homeless.
And they would rotate, too, because the Bruins would have home ice.
This is why I said Palo Alto. I think that's out a little bit of the riffraff. I don't know. We'll find a spot. We'll find a spot and just stay there for 2 weeks. For Stanley Cup Finals, NBA Finals. How do you feel about that? Felger-Mazz road trip. And then after that, all hell breaks loose in the NBA. I mean, that's going to be bananas between Durant, Kyrie Irving, Kawhi Leonard. I mean,
an Anthony Davis trade.
Anthony Davis trade. I'm leaving guys out, whether it's even Kemba Walker or Middleton there in Milwaukee. Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, etc. Like, aren't those guys all free agents?
Klay Thompson is.
Klay Thompson. I thought Draymond Green was too. Either way, that's going to be a nuts time of year. But we continue with your thoughts, Bruins and Celtics, right after Murray's up.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline MA.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Imagine a place where you are never far from your next adventure. Welcome to Prince Edward Island, Canada, a destination where the breathtaking views rejuvenate the soul. Discover 700 miles of coastline with white sand beaches and red cliffs, the freshest flavors from land and sea, world-class golf, outdoor adventures, and authentic cultural experiences. Come find your island, Prince Edward Island, the official travel destination of the NHL and a proud partner of the Boston Bruins. Learn more at explorepei.com.
At the end of your ride home, you'll be all caught up.
You get suspended again, you're going to miss playoff time, or you're going to miss time in the playoffs.
Or questioning your judgment.
I'm sorry I brought it up.
Felger and Mazz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
What could you possibly ask me today after 2 days? Oh, well, one day, but...
I'll be the victim. So I was just asking Cam Atkinson how Torts is most like Jerry York. And he said, give small guys a chance.
Did he have to
convince you of that originally, or?
Who?
Cam.
Convince me of what?
That being small, he could get the job done.
Oh, come on. Ask me a hockey question here. Let's go. I got things to do. Ask me a hockey question.
Couldn't have said it better myself, frankly. Please, we got things to do. Grab ass somewhere else. Grab ass on your podcast.
I'll be the victim.
Grab ass on the off-air show. Felger and Mazz off-air show, 6 o'clock. Facebook Live and Twitch. Tomorrow. Not tonight. Tomorrow. Yeah, Facebook online. Grab ass online. Yeah, on a broadcast? No. Just ask me a hockey question, would you please?
Let's go. I got things to do. Ask me a hockey question.
We got things to do.
He's a dink.
He's a humorless ass.
Oh,
I'll
be the victim.
He's a dink.
Totally. I love the way, this is how he opened his press conference.
What could you possibly ask me today after 2 days?
He walked into the room after two off days. Like, what? I'll be the victim. What is there possibly left to ask? Like, John, you've been coaching now for 20 freaking years. It's the playoffs. The NHL requires
just play along.
Media availabilities. So the folks that are in the room don't want to be there any more than you do. So just sit your ass down, you a-hole, and answer 6 minutes. It's really less.
Let's go. I got things to do. Ask me a hockey question.
It's like 5 minutes of questions, and then get on with your day. It takes more effort and time to be an a-hole than it is just to sit and be with the pro. It really does. You find this, you know, most people find that out the older they get, maybe not Torts. It's always fun to listen to it from afar, but if we
convince me of what?
If we had to deal with this guy on a daily basis, it'd be like, get over yourself.
Oh, he didn't know what DuPont was getting at, please. Like, I just think, you know,
I will say, of what?
You're in the playoffs, dude. You're at the podium. This is what the access is. Just can you deal with it?
Okay. On his defense, I will say the feature questions with, okay, so what's it like to be short? Is that what you're asking me? So I'm a little guy, Kevin. You got me. I could talk about being little.
Okay, but again, this is what happens when you have 2 days off between games in a playoff series. So, like, he's never been through it before?
Yeah.
He didn't know it was coming?
Yeah.
No. Let's go. I got things to do.
I'm not telling you I love it either. I'm just telling you it is what it is. And you know what? He's a dink. He is. He acts like a complete, total jerk. And he's proud of it, too. That's the thing. Acts like a jerk and is proud of it.
So there's that. Final thoughts.
Convince me of what?
With you, Chris in Framingham on the Bees. Yes, Chris.
Hey, Bozos. What are you guys doing? I just wanted to, talk about some hockey. I know you guys finally just said something just a minute ago about Tortorella. But quick thing, Bruins, they have to win. They got to make a statement tonight. And Rask, he needs to steal the game. Let's go, Bees. Let's go. Get me fired up.
Okay, babe.
Rask is the least of their problems.
He's been good the whole run.
That was a productive call.
He's been good the whole way. I'm okay with them in these games. They've been good on the road. They go to Toronto in Game 3. I'm sorry, got to win it. Game 4, they win it. They go to Toronto facing elimination Game 6, win it. I'm not worried about them on the road. I'm really not. They're one of those teams, and I think maybe it helps them simplify. This is a common thing in hockey. You get home, you want to dipsy-do a little bit, impress the crowd. If you're not scoring, the crowd starts to rumble a little bit. You squeeze the stick. You put pressure on yourself because they're moaning every time you won't shoot on the power play. And it's like it builds on itself. And then you go on the road, you're not trying to impress anybody. You're trying to win 2-1 and make it as ugly as possible. I think that helps them.
In fact, really, the best games they've played this postseason have been on the road.
So I'm talking about Toronto Games 4 and 6.
Yeah.
And they got an extra day of rest here. They looked a little like it was catching up with them on Saturday night, especially some guys like with DeBrusk. Again, are you injured? Are you just exhausted? They better look like a refreshed team tonight.
I think their chances are better tonight than in Game 4 just because of the 2-day layoff. Again, they've been playing every other day now for 2.5 weeks. They finally got a couple of days to sort of sleep in, take a little break, rest a little. Like, to me, they should have a little more bounce in their legs tonight.
John in Redding, give me a Celtics-Bucks take.
Yeah, so I was a little curious. Why are you guys taking the Bucks over the Celtics tonight? Like, think all the logical points you've made would be in favor of the Celtics. It's not like the Bucks have a great defense. They have a mediocre defense. And they live and die by Giannis being able to get to the basket, which the Celtics defense is not going to let them do. Brad's system is so better than anybody.
John, they had the number one defense in the league.
And before, just untwist your panties there for a second. Do you think the Bucks are sweeping? Do you think the Celtics are sweeping?
Sweeping? No.
Okay, so the Bucks are going to win one here, right?
I'll tell you what. If they're going to take one, it's after they make adjustments. And Giannis himself said that they don't plan on making any adjustments after the first game. That they're going to play tonight and see how that goes, and if they have to make adjustments, they would.
Okay.
But if the Bucks think that they're going to walk out there and do the same thing they did in Game 1 and beat the Celtics, they're out of their mind. And the Celtics, Tony, they don't have to shoot 54% to beat that Bucks team that showed up at Game 1.
So we got a green teamer there who's a little sensey that you think the Bucks are going to take a game. Boy, that was quick. Getting all vaggy in like 5 days? That didn't take any time at all. 0-60. Maximum vag in like 5 days.
They held opponents to the lowest shooting percentage in the league. Okay, so that's why I say they're the best defensive team in the league. By points, they weren't, but they held opponents to the lowest shooting percentage in the league. And you also want to know why I think the Bucks are going to win tonight? Because the officials are going to rig it that way. That's why. Because I think Al Horford's going to get in foul trouble or something like that in the early part of the game, and his ass will be on the bench, and then all of a sudden, Baines will be in foul trouble, and the Bucks will be going to the line all night.
So it wouldn't surprise me if the Celtics win. They're the better team, so that wouldn't stun me. But unless you think the Celtics are going to sweep, this is the game the Bucks win, and it's the league helps them win it, and it would be just the same if the roles were reversed. This would be the one you thought the Bucks or the Celtics were going to win if the shoe were on the other foot. Just the way it works in that league. Mike and Webster, your thoughts.
Hey guys, how you doing?
Good.
Now, a couple stats. Now, the Celtics game the other night. Do you realize they had 11 blocks? When is the last time the Celtics team had 11 blocks in a game?
I think it was the first time Giannis has been blocked three times. I think Giannis is blocked an average of less than one time per game, and you got him three times. So there's another one.
That's unbelievable. Hey, another stat. Now, did I hear right that Columbus has only lost once since March 3rd at home? And
that
was to the Bruins?
Yep.
That's unbelievable. And maybe you guys can tell me. Now, whenever the Red Sox, Bruins, and Celtics play at the same time, who has the highest rating?
It depends how the games go and what network they're on. So the Celtics and Bruins have been tight all season long. And some nights the Celtics have won, some nights the Bruins have won. Like over the weekend, the Bruins did like a 12 on Saturday night, and the Celtics did like a 10 or something, I want to say. So the Bruins beat them over the weekend, except the Bruins were in prime time and the Celtics were at 1. And the Bruins went into double overtime, so I don't know, maybe that drew the audience. Tonight, the ratings winner is going to be based on the result. In other words, if the Bruins go down 3-1 in the second period by the time the Celtics start, Bruins are going to lose that definitively. If the Bruins are winning, they'll probably carry the night and people will flip over after half. And if the Celtics lose, then people will flip that off. They're both on, NBC Sports Boston, what are the Celtics on TV was? TNT or ESPN?
I don't know.
I can't speak to that. I don't know.
So whatever it is, and that matters too. When you're on a network, you always do a better number, meaning NBC, which is what the Bruins were on Saturday night, or ABC, which the Celtics were on Sunday. You wouldn't believe it.
Celtics are on TNT.
Because we're all on cable, except for Papa. There's still enough. Do you know that there's still enough over-the-air viewership that it makes a difference in the ratings? That when the Bruins or anyone is on ABC versus ESPN, the numbers are always better? Because I think of Grandpa.
Or, there are a few people out there that still do it that way.
That matters. So if you're on a network, you're going to pull a better number than if you're on cable.
Those are the same people that line dry their clothing and use dish racks.
Yeah, not always. People buy these HD antennas now, a lot of these cord cutters.
Okay, maybe that's it too. There's some of that going back to that. I'm just telling you that matters. TNT and NBC Sports Network. So it even matters whether it's on ESPN or TNT. I think ESPN is a more familiar spot. You know, to me, it's going to be based on the result. I think they'll both do a 10 unless someone's getting schwacked.
What if they're all tight? What if all the games are competitive?
Bruins should carry because they're going to start the night.
Yeah, and I also think they're playing the most important game. Like, to me, anyway, the Celtics are up 1-0. They don't have to win.
But
the Red Sox? Please.
To me, the Celtics are about to assert themselves because people are going to start to just wake up to the fact that it's not a lost season. That, okay, here we go. They're actually contending now after just a wretched regular season.
And then here comes the Blues. And it just started with that one call right there. You're not giving them credit tonight?
Oh, yeah. That's coming.
Let's go. I got things to do. Ask me a hockey question.
Thank you. Exactly, Torts. Hank and Worcester on the Celts. Go ahead, Hank.
Hey, Mike. Heinsohn's brother from another mother is never going to let the Celtics win tonight. There will be no travel calls on Giannis. And half of the Celtics are going to foul out. Now, three quick points before you let me go.
Go ahead. That was good.
Kyrie is the best player on the floor. He'll tell you, all right? When Tomas comes back, don't worry about the minutes because his oblique isn't going to let him play a lot of minutes. And, Mike, you almost had it. You were going in the right direction when you were talking about the internal strife and what's going on. It's not that they're kissing his ass. It's that they're making fun of him now. There was a point when they all got together, kind of like the Game 7 when they were watching the Bruins and Kyrie wasn't there. Well, there was another time when they all got together and they were like, this guy is just the biggest stink, and we can't take it anymore.
All right, Hank, I'm going to cut you off. If you know what I'm talking about, go listen to the podcast. It was hour number two. We talked about Al Horford's performance at the podium on Sunday in Milwaukee, just bowing to Kyrie Irving. And I think that Al Horford deserves a tremendous amount of credit, and they all do, for just kissing this guy's ass and getting out of the way and letting Kyrie's ego, giving him the room that it needs. That ego needs a massive amount of space. And I think Al Horford, who was the player of the game, and it was his night, he basically deferred to Kyrie at the podium and kissed his ass at the podium. And go back and listen to it if you want. We played all the sound. But I think Al Horford deserves a tremendous amount of credit for not letting his ego get in the way when it could. Any other player, any other team, it's a clash of egos, and it's not here because Al Horford.
That was my fault. I was in the wrong place.
Appreciate that.
Kind of joking, but not. This is when Kyrie threw a behind-the-back pass into the front row. Al Horford immediately jumps in and says, no, that was my fault. I was in the wrong place.
Appreciate that.
Kind of joking, but kind of not. But again, go listen to the podcast if you want the full run-up of that. Meanwhile, the final word is next.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Hey, it's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy, make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Imagine a place where you are never far from your next adventure. Welcome to Prince Edward Island, Canada, a destination where the breathtaking views rejuvenate the soul. Discover 700 miles of coastline with white sand beaches and red cliffs, the freshest flavors from land and sea, world-class golf, outdoor adventures, and authentic cultural experiences. Come find your island, Prince Edward Island, the official travel destination of the NHL and a proud partner of the Boston Bruins. Learn more at explorepei.com.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Naz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Naz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Naz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
And the final word brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you are looking for the best deal on tires, there is only one place to go. That's Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
Nobody.
You want to get in here, or are you out there grab ass in there, Tortorella? What?
Save your grab ass.
They had a different radio station on in the little calf room there.
Uh huh.
So I didn't know we were coming back.
Were they playing music? Did you not realize it was?
I spaced out. I'm like, there's no. It was a commercial break, and I didn't realize it wasn't our commercial break.
Oh, don't sweat it.
All right, well.
Sorry, nobody.
We got a couple of pieces of sound here to play today as we were talking a bit about the NBA playoffs last night. Just not the Celtics. Some of the bitching going on in some of the other series, specifically in the series between the Rockets and the Golden State Warriors. But what we really got out of this is that Maz hates the Rockets.
I just say it's getting ridiculous again. And you know what?
You should have to get clobbered to get that kind of call.
The Rockets are coming off as a bunch of little whiny bitches is what they are. Start with their GM who had this study conducted over years to find out how many points they lost at the end of games, even though he never went and bothered to look at the official end of game report that was also issued for Golden State. You dink. You big baby. If you can't beat him, you can't beat him. Shut up. I think Harden and the Rockets, to me, are coming off as a bunch of little whiny bitches. That's what they are. Whiny little bitches.
I think Harden's a loser.
So my problem is I hate the Rockets. There's something about that org. I hate Harden. I hate the Rockets. I don't know what it is. I just find Harden to be a pud. He's a pud.
A loser.
I can't stand Harden. I cannot stand him.
Okay.
The Rockets. Please. I hope they get their asses swept.
A lot of anger towards the Rockets.
They deserve it. Seriously, that's such a little weaselly dink move. I hate people who manipulate the rules. You hear me, Patriots fans?
Has it always been that way? 90s with Olajuwon, you know, winning those championships. Yao Ming, did you always hate him?
No, so when Olajuwon was there, I didn't mind him that much. Even Yao Ming was all right. In the 80s, oh, they were dirty. They were, But now it's really more Harden than it is the Rockets. That guy's a tool.
We also had Ty Anderson, he of 98.5 of Sports Hub, mostly 98.5ofSportsHub.com. Always read his stuff there to talk some Bruins. But what we really found out is that Ty Anderson's real name, after someone called in and called him, what was it, Tyler?
Tyler.
Yes, Tyler.
Hate that name so
Ty
much.
Ty is Tyler, right? Tell people your first and middle name, please.
Do I have to do this?
Do it.
It's Tyler Lee, named after Stephen Tyler and Tommy Lee.
I was just going to say, Murray, you know what he's named? Tyler Lee. What's your last name?
Are you kidding me right now?
Tyler Lee Anderson.
Ty Anderson. Guy,
you
just,
don't know
I blanked on your last name just for a second. Just relax.
Stephen Tyler. A billion years old.
Tyler Lee, named after two of the worst rock musicians of our time.
Stephen Tyler and Tommy Lee?
I would agree with Stephen Tyler, but not Tommy Lee. He's fat. Motley Crue's awesome.
Oh, fat. Garbage. Anyway, your parents had bad taste.
You didn't
music,
get any of Tommy Lee's body parts, did you?
Well...
He's also, you're related to Gary Cherone too, right?
Yeah, that's my uncle.
Yeah,
so we have a whole rock family.
Extreme was once the lead singer of Van Halen for a minute.
Okay, there you go. I was blind. I didn't know who that was.
There's pictures of Eddie Van Halen like holding.
Okay, do this on a podcast or the off-air show.
Yeah, it's fine. Do a podcast with me.
Let's go. I got things to do. Ask me a hockey question.
Thank you. Good God.
I missed that body part line, Mass. That's great.
Yeah, he sneaked it in there.
Anyway. 45 seconds of wasted time. Maz, we got coming on the baseball.
Let's
report.
Go. I got things to do.
Thank
Ask me hockey.
So, thanks, Torts.
Red Sox won a game last night over the Oakland A's. Nice little comeback. And Alex Cora made a comment after the game that was about 5 seconds long that both pissed me off and I like at the same time. Oh, I'll explain what that was.
The yin and yang of Maz coming up in 90 seconds after no commercials, just an
Let's
update.
Go. I got things to do. Ask me a hockey question.
And Murray. And then we got hockey tonight. Dunkin' Donuts pregame 6:30. Bruins just after 7. Celtics on WROR. And then they'll go back over to 985thesportshub.com when the Bruins coverage is over. Big night here at the Beasley Media Group. We're back at 2 o'clock tomorrow to talk. Wait, watch on TV, me and Amante on NBC Sports Boston, right when the game's over. Don't forget that. Otherwise, Maz.
Let's go. I got things
okay,
to do.
Okay, sorry, John. See you tomorrow at 2 o'clock.
Bye.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
If Heineken Silver was a 60-second radio ad, it'd tell you all the stuff you need to know in only 30 seconds to keep things light and refreshing. Seriously, time me. Heineken Silver, a world-class light beer that's surprisingly crisp and refreshing, made with only premium-quality ingredients and just 2.9 grams of carbs and 95 calories, all without compromising on taste. Heineken Silver. All the taste, no bitter endings. Order now at Heineken.com/silver. Must be 21 and older to purchase. Enjoy Heineken responsibly. Whew. 30 seconds. That's it. Done. Peace.
Imagine a place where you are never far from your next adventure. Welcome to Prince Edward Island, Canada, a destination where the breathtaking views rejuvenate the soul. Discover 700 miles of coastline with white sand beaches and red cliffs, the freshest flavors from land and sea, world-class golf, outdoor adventures, and authentic cultural experiences. Come find your island, Prince Edward Island, the official travel destination of the NHL and a proud partner of the Boston Bruins. Learn more at explorepei.com.